Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and I understand there is some breaking news happening with President Trump making an announcement, possibly a deal about opening the government as a compromise for 30 days with Congress. So we will have, stay tuned at the top of the hour. We will have breaking news at that time. And joining me now from the Jeanine Basinger studio is Charlie Fenster. He's a professor with the Department of Biology and Microbiology here at SDSU. Thanks for coming on the program today.
Oh, thank you, Kara. It's a pleasure to contribute to the program.
So we're talking about pollinators. Pollinators when it comes to ag. So let's talk a little bit about what that means. It's more than just bees, yes?
Yes. A lot of native pollinators, flies, perhaps the audience is aware of hoverflies or flower flies, are very important pollinators of crops.
Okay. And so you're talking more about oilseed crops or what kind of crops?
Yeah, so you know, we know that corn, for example, is wind pollinated. So we're talking about crops, orchards, for example, in California and other parts of the country require pollinators, but also sunflower yield, as well as a canola yield, is much improved by pollinator presence.
Okay, and so tell me a little bit about your research and what that looks at.
Sure. So they're really two big challenges that the research is addressing. The first is renewable energy resources as well as the pollinator crisis. And in part through the vision of Kevin Kephart, there has been a lot of research done on a potentially new oil crop for the Northern Great Plains, and that is Brassica carinata. It looks a lot like canola.
Okay.
It is an oil seed crop, and the oil from it can be used with very little manipulation for jet fuel. So it can contribute not only generally to renewable energy, but also to national security in the sense that we do use jets for national security. And then the second crisis globally is the reduction of insects in general, biodiversity, but also pollinators. And one solution in a manipulated agricultural landscape is to introduce into the crop rotation plants or crops that can also provide nutritional resources to insects.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so to increase the population of the insect, yes?
Yes, both increase the populations of the insects, but also perhaps contribute to honeybee hive health. And honey production is a major industry in South Dakota. And also the husbandry of honeybee hives is a major industry. The hives leave in the fall and are used nationwide. Mm-hmm. And so if in the landscape we can introduce more resources available to those hives, that could potentially help the health of the hives and assist the producers.
Okay, so it's safe to assume that crops, you get a better yield if it's pollinated, right? Better, right?
Yeah, well, that's a...
Better pollination equals higher yield? Is that fair?
Well, that's absolutely true for... we know that for almond orchards, and that's why apple orchards, that's why honeybee hives are introduced. But the evidence wasn't really clear or as straightforward for crops like sunflowers, which are able to pollinate by themselves.
Through the wind, is that right?
Through the wind or the pollen just kind of drops, stays within the flower and drops on itself into the flower. But it turns out that even in those crops that can set seed in the absence of pollinators, nonetheless, the seed production is increased a lot by pollinators. So in our own work, we find that intensive pollinator visitation can increase seed yield of carinata twofold.
Wow. Okay, so then, so you know the importance of the pollinator and you need the health. So how is it convincing producers to plant these cover crops to help increase the pollinator population? How is that?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say that we've the work is, it's been a tremendous collaborative affair. South Dakota State Administration, undergraduates, graduate students, senior research colleagues, but also a number of producers, farmers. Shout out to the Sveck Farm, the Hall Farm, Underwood Farms, for allowing us to do some of this experimental work on their properties. So I think what it is, we're giving people choices. Farmers, producers, farmers, as to how they want to increase their yield. Our work shows that high pollinator intensity can compensate for lack of insecticides, or can compensate for different tilling regimes. So it's giving people, again, choices on how they want to manage their farms.
So the pesticides and the herbicides that producers use often kill off the pollinators, or they aren't needed? Help me understand that.
Yes. So for the first thing is they do cost per acre. And if you can eliminate those inputs or compensate them with something that is provided by nature, it's called ecosystem services, that things that the natural systems provide for human prosperity. If you can do that, then again, it becomes a choice. But yes, there is a bit of research that shows that insecticides can have a harmful effect on pollinator health, as well as honeybee hive health.
Okay, so how do you explain a little bit more about your actual research and what you're hoping to accomplish in your hypothesis here?
Okay, sure. So we use a couple of approaches to show that pollinators are important in yield. We can exclude pollinators entirely, and yield is really low. But we can also associate the amount of pollinator visitation with yield. That's a measure of association. And there's a clear association, more pollinators, more yield. And we've found that yield is very much affected by these native pollinators, flies, hoverflies, and so forth. And in general, increased insect diversity, especially increased pollinator diversity, is associated with higher yields, which can compensate for lack of other inputs.
Okay, so you want a diverse group of pollinators on a field?
Yes. That makes sense because they'll visit the flowers at different times of the day, and they have different behaviors on the flower to ensure maximum seed set.
Okay, and now we know that the honeybee then takes the pollen and makes honey. Yes,
right.
But what do other pollinators do? It's just more for the health of the plant?
No, so the pollinators are tricked into transferring pollen between flowers or causing seed set because they use the flower mostly to collect pollen as a source of protein, or nectar as a source of sucrose. But they often can use the flowers as a place to rest upon and for thermoregulation.
So talk a little bit about the health of the honeybee. We're hearing a lot of hives are dying off.
Yes.
And what needs to happen?
I don't think I can answer that. A lot of things probably need to happen. A lot of smarter people than me. That's why I'm working with a great team. For honey, our work shows that honeybee hives are healthier when there are more carinata flowers. So we know that the flowers, the plant is providing a good resource for the hives. We also know that in those fields which we've manipulated, carinata fields that have a certain type of insecticide called neonicotinoids, the hives don't gain weight as quickly as the hives exposed to fields without that insecticide. So I think insecticides also are not limited to a farm. They can move across the landscape. So it really requires our data could be used to inform policymakers about ways in which it's economically feasible for the producer to have high yield at the same time through fewer insecticide inputs, for example.
And do you see that being a, could that be a state policy, or are you talking a national ag policy?
That's a great question. And I think some of my partners on the team could address that better. I would say both, though. Certainly could be both.
So what would it look like in South Dakota?
So I think producers need to have inducements, insurance, perhaps, that allows them to put marginal land, keep marginal land as marginal land, and that can be an important source of resource homes for pollinators, rather than put it entirely into crop. Again, maybe introduce other crops in the rotation that can complement pollinators. And then again, the use of insecticides.
And can some of those other crops be used as other habitat?
Yes. They can. Even corn pollen is visited by pollinators during that brief period when the when they're shedding pollen.
Okay. And so if a state lawmaker came up to you and say, hey, I want to help you with this, what would be the number one piece of legislation you would want written today?
I'm going to fall. I'm a scientist, and I love my work. And really, I would direct them to the policy person who understands my science and can incorporate it into economic models and so forth. There's some great people at South Dakota here, economists, but I'm working also with James Stone and Heidi Sieverding at South Dakota School of Mine and Technology, and they're good at taking the whole picture and coming up with dollars and cents outcomes.
Okay, but the real message is that we have a healthier ag economy, ag production, if we have more pollinators and healthier pollinators.
Absolutely, and perhaps individual producers can manipulate their landscape in such a way that they can reduce the amount of inputs they put in might be costly, subtract from their net profits, while increasing pollinator health.